I'm talking to Genevieve Tessera Hazy, who has been very active in Adelaide, particularly starting in her role as Lady Mayoress for 3 or 4 years, in researching the women of Adelaide who have added so much, or the women of South Australia who've added so much to the welfare, the culture, and the general, I think, dignity that has been brought to our state and our city. During Genevieve's, I suppose, research, is, well, the way I can put it, she started looking at our very founding lady. Genevieve, tell us a bit more about yourself and what brought you to look at Queen Adelaide.
I made Adelaide home in 2010 when I married Martin Hazy. And when I got here, I had never heard of an Adelaide before this time because I'd been born in Singapore and most Singaporeans in my time know of Melbourne, Sydney, even Perth, but Adelaide. I lived off Adelaide Road in London when I lived in London. I had no idea it was a place in Australia, let alone it was a queen. When I made Adelaide home, I began to research the brand because my background's in advertising and I wanted to know who we were named after, what she had done, and I was very, very impressed. Adelaide, as we know her, actually, a lot of people actually forgot her, forgot it was a real person when I started speaking about her to them in my role in Town Hall as Lady Mayoress. They had forgotten she was a real person. She was not just a queen. She had a lot of virtues that I believe resemble Adelaide, our city, you know, our capital city. One of the things I think I would say, unless challenged, is that I think Adelaide, being named after Queen Adelaide, would have been one of the first movements of a capital city being named after a woman. That tied in really nicely with later on with us winning the women's vote and putting women into parliament, but also a very strong line of women. And that's what I began to discover as I was getting to know a lot more about our city. We have a lot of women's first and a lot of women's achievement, but often not spoken about. So let's start with the brand of Adelaide. Adelaide was married 27 years younger than her king. She was brought up noble in a German principality, and Prince William at the time was number 3 and not necessary in line for the throne, but his father, King George, lived a long time, and King George was getting tired of his sons having a lot of illegitimate children, and he decided that none of them would be heirs to the throne unless they married a princess. He wanted noble blood. So off the boys went looking for princesses, and because they were Hanoverian, they looked in the German principalities, and Adelaide's mother knew this was happening, and Adelaide's father had passed away. So she said to her daughter, "You will marry the best offer we get for our family, and you will be a good person in that role." So she was offered a hand in marriage by a much older man who was a bit rotund at the time and who already had 10 children, and she was 2 feet in. She married him, and she worked really hard at helping him be, later on, become a good king. Adelaide came from noble birth, so she was brought up noble. William, unfortunately, was allowed to be a bit of a scallywag, and he was off, you know, being a sailor. He had mistresses, and one of them produced 10 children. Adelaide immediately created a household for those children and even allowed their mother's portrait to be put up so that they felt that they were still, you know, a family altogether. She educated the girls, including the boys, and she brought the idea of kindergarten to England, because it was a German term, as well as the Christmas tree. So these were things that Adelaide did, but she did them in a way that was very kind. So with Adelaide, we've got lots of virtues that I think we could use to support our city: modesty, dignity, charity. But Adelaide was during a time when Adelaide and King William, they were during the reform movement, a time when things were being looked at differently as well. And that is so much like our city today. You know, we came from a reform movement And there were so many women's firsts. And that's why when they decided to name the city, the capital city, after her and not the king, well, the king allowed it, was because he wanted to pay a nod to his consort, who actually, I believe, worked beside him. And if you watch Young Victoria, there's an auntie, they don't even call her by name. She's got a German accent, and she is obviously the widow of the king. She's always giving the best advice. Now, they wouldn't have given those lines just because. I think they were lines in history. My other proof of Adelaide's value to the court at the time was when Victoria had her first child, she named her child Victoria Adelaide. So that was a nod to an aunt who is not bloodline. Today, they follow the Victorian line from Victoria, but Adelaide was only an aunt with no children. So we know that, you know, it's very hard for her to get a placing. However, to us here in Adelaide, she is our icon. She is someone whose values and virtues and care for the girls as well as boys is very much echoed throughout the city. And I, you know, being a person from branding, I look at that and I get really excited because I think, gosh, we matched that so well.
She was passionate about some of the things she believed, I understand. She was a driving force in England, or Britain, for the abolition of slavery. Now, that was a brave woman who spoke.
Courage.
That.
Wouldn't it be lovely? A city of courage. That's what we are. You know, we try. We're small, but we do try to actually top a lot of things. And you know, true history, because I'm working on this women's history, the Her Stories, our women were amazing. I mean, from early days, they were already trying a lot of firsts. They were achieving a lot in there. You know, there's so much to share on that. So we have women who were the first to fly as a commercial passenger for business, you know, and that was Lady Malden, who was a mayoress. We have women who just stood up and fought for votes and taught England how to fight for a vote. So many amazing stories. So my little theory on that is when the ships were coming out, they were speaking to both male and female children. You know, in the old days, normally it's son number one, and that's it, right? He'll get the run of the land. But they were talking to both male and female children. And guess what children would ask? Why are we leaving where we're from? And where are we going? And are we there yet? And they would say, we're going to be rich. We're going to build our whole world there. So in 1861, we have done some research and it's still not fulfilled yet. But our women were already voting because there was a government already being elected, which is our local government, you know, today. Yes. And in 1861, women owned land and businesses. And we have many stories on that. You know, they were owning boarding houses. Gladys Simchun at 16 was the first to register her business. Lots were happening in the early days that we need to celebrate. And I think Adelaide is the spirit of it all.
She championed much of that, didn't
Absolutely.
She? But she did have tragedy in her own life.
Very sadly,
she?
No children. Mm. She lost six children, all in childbirth. Well, she had two who didn't make it to a much older age, and then the rest were all in childbirth. So she loved the children, and she wanted the girls to have as much opportunity to learn as she had. She was very well educated, and she was very humble. She knew she was coming into a hated Georgian era where there was a lot of excesses, and the Regency era. So when Adelaide came in and William came in, she helped him become a better king.
She led the household, although it might not sound like it to us now, but she insisted the household led a simple routine, a simple life. That's extraordinary in those days of excess.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very different. And she had a lot of bravery because she was the foreigner and mocked for it. And she stood by quietly.
My goodness, yes. And doesn't that resonate with us today?
It is. There's a lot of nice stories. One of the things we don't have is a statue of Adelaide.
Isn't there something in the foyer of the town hall?
Yes, there's something that stands 20 feet tall of a lady in a riding gear.
Yes.
Adelaide would not have liked that. She was down to earth. You know, we should respect her in her role as a queen. She was a queen of England and a royal. But she had that influence to try and make changes. And so she brought about what she could back then. So what we have now is a few people gathering to create that next sculpture. It will be done. It has already been done as a maquette. And the first one was bought by the Queen Adelaide Club or bought by members, Meredith Sarah, to donate to the Queen Adelaide Club. We have 50 marquettes to sell to then build the bronze statue of Queen Adelaide. The sculptor is a young fellow of the Royal South Australian Society of Arts, Scott Eames. He spent 3 years researching her because, of course, there were no photographs. So he had to go through and look at etchings, get a sense of who she was, to put her character in. He's researched everything down to her wedding ring, her crown.
Didn't she have her crown made at her own expense?
She did that. That's how frugal she was. She brought her own stones and put that together. She took nothing. I mean, she as much as she could, she gave. Her most valuable thing was her Bible, you know, prayer. So she was very, very real. She had a favorite brooch, so that's on as well. Her birthday is August 13. We hope to get this statue done by selling marquettes. So the marquettes are going to be sold at 1792, which is the year of her birth, 1792. Scott Eames from the Royal Society of Arts is the artist behind this.
Is there a position which has been marked for her listed?
No, because it is really going to be a gift to the city, and then we hope she will look on King William.
Oh, yes.
So we hope that happens. So.
Yes. I think she might have been quite fond of him, actually, the way she took him
in. She was, actually. She really looked after him and his children, regardless. So she was a really good lady. On top of that, we were one of the first to have royal roses. So we have the Queen Adelaide Rose. So in her hands, in the statue's hands, you will have the Queen Adelaide Rose, which was designed actually for our city, for her. So we had the Rose Society have a look at them to make sure they're correct as a sculpture. So it'll be a very nice honour piece, especially in the 125th year of the women, to note that we have been very much a feminine city to a certain extent.
And King William was one of the only ones to insist that the city was named after a woman, was he?
Yeah, he supported that.
That was quite a token, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. A really nod to his queen, his consort.
Did she leave anything at all to the city, or she didn't have much to leave, I suppose, if she was frugal?
We have a few things in Town Hall, and I was cheeky to ask Prince Edward when he came to visit. I said, you know, if you don't have any use of some of Queen Adelaide's treasures, we won't mind looking after her because she's our queen. I don't know if that resonated, but he did give me a cheeky grin back. So that's someone who's somehow her virtue seemed to channel back to the city. We were the first to have women go into the university. Education, that was one of the things that Adelaide herself wanted for young girls. There's a lot of things that tie in. Faith, city of churches. She was a migrant herself, foreigner coming into a city and helping it grow. So there's lots of things that you can actually pair up back to the city. So I think we were very lucky. We have a good name.
I'm always very touched by the fact that King William was a sailor and her directions for her funeral required that she be carried to her grave by sailors.
Yes.
In peace and free from pomp and vanity.
Yes, how sweet is that? Is to not her husband.
Yeah.
She really loved him.
She did.
Yeah.
She did. So, Genevieve, you have been researching the women who have contributed to life in Adelaide and South Australia, and we've talked about Queen Adelaide, but you are researching others. Tell us how you're going about this and how our listeners can find out how they might probably even be able to help.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Basically, I'm not doing this on my own. I'm driving the bus, but the bus is filled with very talented people or people who just love the idea of remembering a story. But often along the way, you know, when we first started, it was mostly about the past mayoresses. So even if we were speaking to family, the conversation would slowly go back to the father or grandfather, and we'd have to bring it back to the woman and the mother about what she did and what her contributions were. So that was one of the early exercises, because it often goes back to the male story. We said, no, we want to know her story. And that's what it's about, her story. I just love them. It's really igniting the different groups. So we've ignited the Pioneer Association. They've been finding stories for us of the first settlers. They've been fantastic at researching things. So we've gone through associations. We're looking at groups. At the end of our term in Town Hall, I was already very close to the regional mayoresses, particularly Jamestown, Mid-Murray, Tea Tree Gully, Adelaide Hills, Burnside. They've all been playing a role. So I challenged them to come up with five women from their areas. And so in the last history festival, they did. And they told wonderful stories about women in their areas who've created achievements but were probably forgotten. And what we're trying to do is we're just putting it out to volunteers, putting out to any story writers, family members of women who've achieved things that haven't been remembered. Because remember, after three generations, it might be forgotten. So it's best to try and collect it as soon as you can. What we've done is we've made it easier. The Julia Farr Foundation of Women's Gender Studies has helped us write a pro forma. If you Google her story, you will come up with a link to the History Trust, and that's where all the stories will be stored. Even they need a lot of volunteers to help key in things, key in the information, but the pro forma will start. You know, when you look at a blank canvas, you don't know how to approach it, but this one goes, what's her name? When was she born? And it starts asking questions, and I've snuck in a cheeky one. What does nobody know about her, or is a secret? So, for example, Martin and I were invited as Lord Mayor and Lady Mayoress to the Hyson Cedars. And as I was going through a tour, an older guy there who was a grandson, he said, oh, isn't it lovely? They were going through the rooms. This is where my grandma was. And she said, look at this. A German lady from a dirt floor to be a Lady Mayoress. And I said, of where? And he said, of Adelaide. And I said, oh my God, who is she? So it was Mrs. Bartels, Ada Bartels. And then he said, oh yes, I remember. My mom used to have to bring bullets to her almost every month. And I was like, what? She said she lived off Hurdle Square. And she would go onto the square and shoot a gun every now and then to tell people who's boss. And it was a blank. And I thought, that's the sort of story nobody would know. And that's the sort of story I want. Because that was this woman saying, I'm still boss of this town.
Feisty
and
lady.
She was feisty. And I was wonderful. But what else I found out was, Bartels, the in-laws of Hyson. And Salma was Sally, they called her, was his wife, and she was the Bartels.
Oh,
so, you know, it's all connected and it's wonderful. Yes. But, you know, this is treasure hunting. So I do urge you, if you feel like you want to do some research on a woman's stories, do go into the Her Story site. There are profiles there that you can use. The idea is information coming in and we will keep growing it. And you never know what treasures you find out there. It could be family, it could be in your city, it could be in action. So there's so much there.
Well, thank you very much for that, Genevieve. I'm really hoping that you'll get a response. I do hope.
I hope so. There's lots of stories. Yeah. Well, next year, my next History Month, I've already decided on a theme, and that will be women artists. So not just painters, sculptors, musicians, because we were also told stories of scrapyards where one of the mayoresses, he said, oh, look at these wooden carvings. This belonged to a famous woman artist, but the people bought the house don't appreciate it, so they've just pulled it all out. So these artists, our first sculptors or first, might also be forgotten. So I'd like to find them. For example, Nora Hyson. She's not just the first to win the Archibald, but she's also the first woman to go and be a war artist.
Be a war artist.
How wonderful is that?
How gutsy a woman is that?
And that's one of our women.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
that's right.
So the ceilings were always there. Yeah. It's up to the courage of Adelaideans and South Australian women to say, I can do this.
Genevieve, you have real passion for your mission, and we here in Service Voices thank you for talking to us about it, and we wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
We'll keep in touch.
Absolutely.